Oh, and welcome to the Bible study. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. We're doing the 4 or 5 week series on Daniel 9 and space and time. And now, I've got a lot on the board. And I want to start with some understanding to where I messed up last week. And I can show you where I messed up pretty quick was right here. When you're counting in sequence, you have to count zero as what?
One.
One. Because you're in a sequence. It would actually be 446 and then 30 years, which is 476 years. So that's where the mistake was. I've missed 1 year. Lisa had it figured out that I missed 1 year. Brenda had it figured out. But I couldn't figure out in my mind, under the pressure, where the 1 year was. And it was zero. It's still a digit that has to be counted if you're counting from one way to the other. And that was the dilemma that I came up with. So, let me start again with just some basic information that is necessary to know. Go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Daniel 9, verse 24. Daniel chapter 9. I'll give everybody a chance to get a piece of paper out, pencil. You will definitely want to take some notes. Daniel 9, 24. Now, we'll deal some more times with these 70 weeks a little bit more. Verse 24. Daniel 9, verse 24. Everybody read with me, if you will. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. And these are the list. You ought to have these already listed. But if you don't and you're joining us for the first time, this is a list that is going to happen at the end of the 70 weeks. By the way, when I say the end of the 70 weeks, there it is. That's the end. And these things are going to happen after that moment. Y'all got it? 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. When that 70 weeks is fulfilled, what's going to happen? One, they're going to finish the transgression. Number two, make an end of sin. Number three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Five, to seal up the vision and the prophecy. Six, to anoint the most holy. Now, here's the point. I've been sent some DVDs of a guy down in Fort Walton, you know, down in Florida somewhere. And he started counting from Adam time. And you get to Cyrus. I think it's C-Y-R-U-S. If that's not right, that's okay. He starts counting from Adam, and he goes to Cyrus, which made a decree to who? Who did he make a decree to? Ezra. Who said Ezra? Did someone say Ezra, or was it me that I was so smart? Ezra. And Ezra was given a decree to build the what?
House.
House of God. Not the city. Well, listen to this next verse in verse 25. That would not fit this prophecy. Knowing therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. What are they building and restoring?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Restore and to build Jerusalem. It didn't say anything about a temple. Y'all understand? So, we went through Cyrus to Ezra in Ezra 1, verse 1 and 2. Why don't we look at that and just let's clarify, because I kind of made a mess of things I got frustrated, and it'll just be easier. Ezra, and if you have any problems finding it, go to Nehemiah and back up one bookie. Ezra 1, verse 1. Ezra 1, verse 1. It's right after 2 Chronicles and right before Nehemiah. Ezra 1, I'll give everybody a chance to get there. What are we trying? What is the goal of this? To determine this moment in the prophecy.
The starting point.
Where it starts. We've already determined that it finishes right there. Now, we don't know where that is right at the moment, but we know it's the second coming. Y'all with me? Why? Because the list has to what? Be finished. And we know that Zechariah 13 said there's a fountain open for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for what? Sin and uncleanness. So we know that that is a yet to come. You know that song, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. That song has to do with that forgiveness at the second coming after the Lord returns. Be very clear about that. Ezra chapter 1, I'll read verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, this is the decree, this is it. Thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build everybody and house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Judah. Y'all with me? What did he make the decree to do?
Build a
house at Jerusalem. Did he go to tell them to rebuild Jerusalem and restore it?
No,
he didn't. And so you can go to Ezra, the house of the Lord, the temple. Go to Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. Daniel 6, verse 1. Then Darius the king made a decree, and the search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon, and where they found Achamitha in the palace, that is the providence of the Medes, a roll therein was recorded, thus written. Here it is. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning what? The house of God. Everybody. The house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded. 6 verse 2 and 3. Ezra 6, verse 3.
You said Daniel.
You were never to be sick.
You said Daniel. You said Daniel.
Oh, I see how you guys are going to turn on me now. Yeah, you're all there feeding with me on the Word of God, and then one little tiny mistake, and you turn like ravages dogs to take hide off my rear end.
Well, you know, it's like bewildered because we were lost and didn't know where to go. And we're looking for our fearless leader.
No, you were attacking me like red meat cut open and laid out for attack. They smelled blood and turned on me. Ezra 6. Ezra. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king had made a decree concerning everybody, the house of God at Jerusalem. There was no decree given to build a city. Now look in Ezra 7, verse 11. And I want to start in just verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach Israel statutes and judgment. Now this is a copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even the scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, the kings of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace at such time. I make a decree that all they of thy people of Israel and of the priests and the Levites and in the realms which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem and go with thee. For as much as thou art sent of kings and of the seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand, and to carry silver and gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem, and all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with a free will offering of the people and to the priests, offering willingly, ready, everybody, for the house of their God, which is in what?
Jerusalem.
Now, he hadn't given any decree at all to build a city. What's been the decree of Ezra?
Build a house.
How about Darius?
Build a house.
Build a house. How about Artaxerxes?
Build a house.
It isn't until you get to Nehemiah. Go to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. Now, this is interesting Because this is the only one out of the four decrees in this order that has any month even mentioned. Y'all understand? The month is Nisan, which is March. Okay? It's March and April. But it's fascinating when you take the time. Now, listen to me very carefully. You've got Artaxerxes in 445 giving who a command to go back and rebuild Jerusalem? Nehemiah. Now, I want you to keep in Nehemiah, but go back to Daniel just for a minute, and let's look at it. Time counting. Verse 25. Daniel 9, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment, now we heard a commandment to restore what? The house of God three times under three different kings, right? But here's the commandment. The commandment, and you need to underline this, to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. I'm saying this is unto Messiah the Prince. I'm saying that's around April 2nd, the first day of the week, he's riding in on an ass. Y'all with me? That's, you say, well, wasn't he anointed as king when he was baptized? I would suggest that that isn't true. Why? Well, let me show you. Go to Matthew 16. Now look, Matthew 16. Look at his attitude out of calling him. Matthew 16. I want to start in verse 16. Matthew 16, verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what rock? Not Peter. The testimony that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And you might want to write in your Bible right there, John chapter 20, 21 to 23. He said, if you'll forgive sin on the earth, it'll be forgiven in heaven. And on and on. John 20, 21 and 23 there. And whatsoever thou art loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now here's the thing, verse 20, and this is the verse I need. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Did he sound like he wanted to announce himself as Jesus the Christ?
No.
No. I mean, come on, guys. They are being told basically not to get involved with going out and spreading the things. In fact, he starts to talk to them in parables. Look in Matthew, before that, in Matthew 13. Look in Matthew 13. Yeah, don't get confused yet. Let me try to work this out. And then we'll take some questions, because I want you to get it right. Now, go to Matthew 13 and read with me in verse... I'll just start in 1. Just keep it simple. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitudes were gathered together onto him, so that he went into the ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Now, parables are stories that don't really make sense unless you have the hidden truth of it. If I talk to you in parables, you'd walk out and say, I'm not sure what he was talking about. And so he goes in verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and he sowed, and some seed fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on the stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, and because they had no deepness of earth, and the sun was up, and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And on, I'm going to read that. Jump down to verse 10. Verse 9 first. Who hath ear to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou in parables? Why are you speaking to this huge multitude in parables? I mean, you've got a great multitude, Jesus. Why don't you just be straight with? Why aren't you letting everybody know what's going on here? And this is what he says. verse 11. Watch this. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, who's the you? The disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not what?
Given.
You see, guys, all of this comes to pass, and you start to realize that they have no idea what's really going on. Now, but in Luke 19, look there in Luke 19, they do proclaim him as the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in Luke 19. Now, at this time, there is a public proclamation. What?
Is that in the other Gospel too, or this is?
It's in, I think, a couple. I just picked Luke.
Okay.
I don't know that. I got to Luke, and that's all I needed. Because all I'm trying to do is a public profession. Yes?
You said Luke 19?
Yes, Luke 19. I'm going to come in verse 33. No significance here. That as they were loose the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of them. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colts, and sat Jesus thereon. Now watch. He kept telling them, don't tell anybody that I'm the Christ. Don't tell anybody. But now, look what happens. And when he was come nigh, verse 37, go with me. And when he had come nigh, even now on the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Who are they proclaiming him to be? The King, the Messiah. They're claiming Hosea, you know? Well, that is this event right here. And that was April 2nd before April 14th, which was the crucifixion. They had to have the Lamb of God come in without spot, and they had to put him up for how many days? 3 or 4 days there. Okay, we're going to get to the feast days in a little bit. I think it's 3 days. And then they crucify him and put his blood on a post. Kind of symbolic there. Amen. And so this is his proclamation. There is a proclaiming that this is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. It's not hidden anymore. There's no hidden. And so go back to Daniel chapter 9. Now, are you less confused tonight than you were last Wednesday up to this point? Let's hope I can keep it that way.
Just one I can't get. How are you dealing with the 2nd and the 14th?
We know when he was crucified was the 14th day, which is Passover. It never rotates. It isn't like it goes, like our Easter rotates. You know that.
It's between the 2nd and the 14th.
Well, he came in the week before. He had to be put up. So what it is the April, there is a Sabbath day that's right here. He comes in, he does his business, and then he's crucified. Now, I'm not. Don't worry about that to the second. It may or may not be true, but it'll put it pretty darn close. Now, go back to Daniel 9. Let's go back to Daniel 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Let's read it again. We ought to get this down pretty close to being right. In Daniel 9, verse 25, the Bible says, knowing therefore and understanding that from the going forth of the commandments to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. All right? From here to here is 7 weeks. And from here unto Messiah is what?
60.
60, which is 60, and 2, which is what? 62 weeks. Right? Let me try it again. Make sure everybody doesn't lose it here. Verse 25 again. Knowing therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandments to restore and to build Jerusalem, when was that? Month of Nisan, 445 B.C. Got it? On to Messiah the Prince. Wasn't his baptism. What was it? Luke 19. So I'm going to put this as what? Luke 19. That dime right there. Got it? Is 7 weeks and 62 weeks. for a total of how many weeks? 69 weeks. And these are weeks of what? Years, which would be 7 years, which is what? 483. Everybody with me? If you're not with me, let me know. You with me? The weeks and years are 7 times 7, which is 49, 62, and it comes out to 483 years. But we've got a problem. From the going forth of the commandments on to Messiah is 7 weeks, 62 weeks. We're not missing any weeks as yet. We know there's 70 determined. But from that point to that point is how many? 69 weeks. But that's 483 years. But how many years do we have? 476. Well, 476 and 483 don't match. You got a problem. Because he said, from the going forth of the commandment, we got 445 plus 31 years, because zero is a digit, is 476. Well, 476 does not match 483, thus creating a dilemma. How you define a year would make it these. This is solar years, which is 365. Now you have four types of measurements. Let me give them to you. Here's the measurements. You got a lunar year, which is 354 days. Write that down. That's a lunar year. You have a solar year, which is 365 days. You have a Julian, which is 365.25 for the leap year. And then you have what Israel went by, which was a 360-day year. Well, how do I know that? How do I know Israel went by a prophetic year and how they measured? Well, go to Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. Everybody there? Genesis 7, verse 11. Here it goes. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month. Here's the second month, 17th day. Anybody have any problem with that? Okay, that's what the Bible says. Now watch this. Of the month of the same day where all the fountains of the earth, of the fountains of the great deep were broke up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and it rained for 40 days and on and on. Now, go to Genesis chapter 8, verse 3. And the waters returned from off the earth continually after the end of 150 days. All right, so I'm going to go to the board. There's 150 days. Y'all with me? I mean, this is important. You're going to need it. Verse 4. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month. Which month?
Seventh month.
Well, that's 5 months, right? 5 into 150 is what?
30
days in a month. That's a prophetic calendar. That's how God deals with Israel. Y'all with me? On 30 days, months. How do we count time? By the Julian calendar. How do they do time before that? The solar calendar. All right, so let's go with the idea. The 476 years we're adding based upon a 365-day year. Y'all with me? If you take 476, my mistake was 475, and I couldn't get the numbers to work out because I didn't include the zero that was there, because when you're counting from here over, zero would be a numeral. My mistake. I was under pressure. I couldn't get it quite defined. But you understand that it's a digit in counting time. 476 times 365. Write these numbers down. You're going to need this. Equals 173,000 days, 740 days. But it didn't include leap years because that's a solar year. Right? So we have to add the 119 leap years. How do I get that? Well, you take that many years and you divide it, it's 118.9 something. It's 119 days for the leap years. So then you add the 119 days to that. Everybody with me? You get a total of 173,859. Someone asked about how we know approximately when it was. Well, we know it was before April 14th because that was when the crucifixion was, the 14th day of the month. Well, we know it was in the month of March Well, if you add 20 days, which that would be, from March 14th to April 2nd would be 20 days, you'd add the 173 plus the 20 days, and you get 173,879. Y'all with me? Which is divided by, if you divide that by 360, which is the prophetic. Now, these are just days, and we divide it by the prophetic number, which is 360, guess what you get? 482.99, which is what? Which matches 483. From March 14th to April 2nd, because we know when he came in. So we can back it back up to the day. To the day, guys. How could they know that Jesus Christ was the Messiah? Come on, guys. How did they know? By Daniel's prophecy. It is the most important prophecy in this Word of God. It proclaims who Jesus Christ was. It is where prophecy starts. But hold it. Go back to Daniel chapter 9. Now, how many's got it now where they didn't have it last week? How many's got it that I didn't see any hands up? My wife, thank God, I preached to her all week. All right. Go back to Daniel 9. Aren't you glad you came, George? Hoping it'll make sense to you. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. But hold it, how many weeks do we have? We only have 69 weeks. That's the last week of Daniel. I believe it's out here in the future. How do we know it's out in the future? How would we deduct that it has to be out in the future? The six things. Yes. Carlton hit it right on the nose. Those six things have not happened. Only after the 70th week could it happen. Y'all understand? So the 70th week has not come to pass. Thus, it's a future event. Thus, we're dealing with modern day prophecy. This is so important, I cannot express to you. When you start to deal with end times, if you don't get the understanding of this time down, nothing else will make a difference. Now, are we appointed unto wrath?
No.
How do we know?
Because Paul.
Paul said it three times. Let me give them to you. We are not appointed unto wrath. You need to write these down. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. We are not appointed to wrath. The last week of Daniel has to do with wrath and Israel. Who was the 70 weeks determined upon? Israel. This guy that was trying to tell me is that we're going to be part of the 68th, 69th, and 70th week that's still out in the future. Well, how can that be if this prophecy is dealing with the nation of Israel and not our blessed hope? Amen. We'll be gone. We got a great hope. I believe that we're going to get down to some narrowing of time here. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and we know that those six things haven't been. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince, he given us a space of time, which will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall evil in what? Troublous times. I would imagine this first 7 years has to do with Nehemiah building back that city. The streets are going to be built back in what? Troublous time. Go to Nehemiah. I gave you one. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. 1, verse 10. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. Now, the reason that's important is because people are trying to place you into the tribulation. How many have heard that Obama was the Antichrist? Well, he can't be revealed while we're here. So if he's revealed and we're still here, you've missed the rapture, boys and girls. Not bad news. Y'all with me? That he is not the Antichrist. Yeah, but wait, I'm going to deal with the Antichrist. Remember, I've got a little book on it. And for $19.95, you can buy my little book. I know the Bakers and the Simpsons want some copies over there. We got it. We found it. My wife is diligent. I found it, lost it, and she found it again. You know, I will be married to that woman 25 years come Thursday. We're going to have a silver anniversary. If you want to bring anything silver, bring it.
Next Thursday.
Otherwise, don't bring anything. What?
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday. I'm excited.
But tomorrow's Thursday. I didn't want to get confused.
But if they want to send a gift early, it's okay.
One's birthday is Friday.
I know. No, it's Friday. It is the 15th.
No, it's
Saturday.
Friday.
All right. Where did I tell you to go?
Nehemiah 2.
I'm sorry. No, I don't want you to go to Nehemiah 2. I want you to go to Nehemiah, but chapter 4. Now, what am I verifying? That I believe the 7 weeks that was included had to be in troublous times. No, the seven weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built in what? Troublous times. Now watch this. Verse 6. Nehemiah 4, verse 6. Y'all there? Nehemiah 4, verse 6. So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, and the people had a mind to work. Well, you know that's what we need, don't we? And it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabians and the Amorites and the Ashdodites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, and they were wroth and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem. Well, that matches Daniel chapter 9. The streets shall be built when? In troublous times. Who's against them? Tobiah and Sanballat. And you can read on down. In fact, later he says they work with one hand and their sword in the other hand. And they built the walls in what? Troublous times. Go back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandments to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and the streets shall be built again and the walls even in the troublous times. You need to have Nehemiah 4 verse 6 on. Right there. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be what?
Cut off.
Hey, after the 62 weeks, which is when he came into Jerusalem on the ass, what verse was that? Luke 19, right? And then the Messiah was what? That's it. We've got the 7 weeks and 62 weeks because it was here, and then Messiah was cut off, right? Y'all with me? We've got the time picked to a perfect moment.
That's 69 weeks to the cross.
Well, 69 weeks to when he was riding in on the ass.
Right. Yeah.
And after, notice the prophecy, verse 26. And on the 62 weeks fulfillment, is that what it said? No, what did it say? After that 62 weeks was fulfilled, after that, what was going to happen? The Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Look in Hebrews chapter 7. Are you all starting to get the picture? Could they know who Jesus the Christ was? Yeah, they had the Old Testament. They could know by the prophecy of Daniel who Jesus Christ was. Verse 27, Hebrews 7, verse 27. Who need not daily as those high priests to offer up a sacrifice first for his own sin. He died for me. I am the body. He died for us, but not for himself. He died for the body, but that's a mystery. He didn't mention that. What he mentions, and then for the what? People. And this he did once when he offered up himself. That matches Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. You need to put Daniel 9, 26 there, and then turn back to Daniel 9, and put Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. 27. Hebrews 7, 27. Have I confused anybody up to this point? Hebrews? Are you in Hebrews or Daniel? By Hebrews 7:27, you want to put Daniel 9, verse 26. And turn back to Daniel and put Hebrews 7:27. Now, notice that he didn't say that he died for his own sin. Why? Yeah, he did. He took our sin on. Why didn't he mention it there? It was a mystery. Y'all understand? It wasn't part of prophecy. Now, we know Hebrews 7... And then for the people, we know who that own sin is now, don't we? But we know it through the revelation of the Apostle Paul. Up until then, there's no way you could have figured it out.
That part of the mystery that was hidden in God and not in Scripture.
All right? Now, this stuff is a little bit complicated. Have I lost you at this point? Hebrews 7. Read it to me. You got to read it out loud so they can hear you on the internet. All right, Hebrews 7.
As those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people.
Now, who's the people?
Israel.
His own sin would be whose?
Ours.
The body. Man, that's one of the most richest. Listen, that is the richest, because you know that he died for your sin in the body. Hey, there was no way, guys, listen to me, that he could have taken a Gentile sin on and just wouldn't have been right. They couldn't even offer a blood sacrifice, boys and girls.
That's right.
Y'all understand that? He couldn't, as a high priest, couldn't go in there for us. But he could do it for himself, which we became part of by the baptism of us by the Spirit into one body, being made conformable unto his.
Yeah.
Boy, that is so rich.
That makes it sound almost like he sinned as a human or something.
He didn't sin as a human, but he became sin for you, 2 Corinthians 5. For God hath made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin, he didn't know any, he didn't do any sin, but he became sin. So what happened?
We became the righteousness of God in him.
Well, if we believe that, that's it. It applies to you through belief. He died for our sins. Romans chapter 4, verse 24, became sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5. Guys, that truth is so endearing and so incredible that if you miss that, and why didn't he mention that back in Daniel 9? It was a mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, 7, and 8. Y'all are starting to get the pieces of the puzzle put together, right? Go back to Daniel chapter 9. So there's a couple things that happen. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. What do you have right there? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27, right there. And the people of the prince. Well, the Messiah, the prince, had been cut off. Who's the people of the prince? Daniel 9:26. The people of the prince came in at AD 70 and destroyed. Who's the prince of the priest? Well, that would be Rome, which has to do with this colossal, this image that was given to Daniel to interpret for who? Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Now you'll start to see the reason why we needed that image there. Because who's the prince of the people of the prince? It's the Roman army. Who's going to be the prince of peace? It'll be a Roman, guys. The Antichrist. He's an Assyrian Jew that's Roman Catholic. Now, and so that kind of leaves Barack Obama out of the thing. Well, I'm going to build. You got to let me build a case. Okay, each time we're going to build a little bit more. All right, I want you to go to Luke 21. Because if I don't build it methodically and we start chasing rabbits, go to Luke 21, verse 24. This is it, guys. This is as deep as it goes, brother. Say, it is a lot to swallow, but hey, you got to be students. Guys, listen, we're living in the day where you need to be the ministers of righteousness, and you need to understand that the time of this element is short.
So basically, grace that we know it, that we're living in now, that's been existing for 2,000 years, is the beginning of verse 27, the word "and."
Yes.
Because, well, at the end of the verse of 26, he says, "And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined, the destruction of Rome."
Oh, you're in Daniel. Yeah, I'm not back there yet. Go to Luke. Yes. Go to Luke. There's a gap in there. That's exactly what I'm trying to get to tonight. Luke 21, verse 24. We are going to run a few minutes longer, but not much. It won't be many. I'm almost done. Luke 21, verse 24, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations," which they are, "and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Guess where that is? Midway, and then that's basically Israel's time for punishment, the last 3.5 years. Okay, y'all with me? That's the time of the Gentiles.
Midway, and that meant the iron and marred clay.
Yes, that's the mix of those toes, iron and clay. Now, hold on, don't get questioning yet. Let me go back to Daniel chapter 9, where Terry was. And I'm going to build on this, so you got to give me a little bit of chance to do it. I mean, there's a limited amount of time. So I'm going to review in just a second what we've done. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. "And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the The people of the prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of there shall be with a flood. And I would imagine that flood could be like in Joel, when he sees a flood of armies, not a literal flood. And the end, and unto the end of the war, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, the end that Terry was talking about is that's where the gap is. And the gap basically started with from when he rode in on the ass until the rapture, and then the last week of Daniel, the 7 years, are over there. So I am a premillennialist. Okay? I'm a premillennialist. Postmillennialist would be at the end of the millennium, there'd be stuff. And then there's all millennialists. I'm a premillennialist. Well, what do I believe? I believe that this is the times of the Gentiles, and there's going to be a little bit after that, which will be the toes and that kind of thing, and we're going to get into all that, but you got to build one piece at a time, okay? Here's the thing that I want you to get. Go to Hosea, and if you don't know where Hosea is, just back up from Daniel toward the back and go to Hosea 6. Yes?
What is a postmillennial, in the simplest words, what is postmillennial?
They believe they're going to go through the tribulation and through the millennium to be resurrected at the second coming. Hosea 6, and I'm going to try to wrap up. This was my last verse, and then I'm going to sum up what I've talked about. So we'll want to go back to Daniel chapter 9 right after this. Come, verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn, and He will heal us. He has smitten, and He will bind us up. Who's the us?
Israel,
and we're talking about what? Right here, the second coming. At the end of the Daniel prophecy, the fountain will be open. Zechariah 13, verse 1. That is the moment. Now watch. Here's the deal. After 2 days will He revive us up. In the third day He will raise us up. Well, Israel is going to come to authority at the end of 2 days. Well, what are 2 days according to Peter? 2,000 years. Well, guys, it's 2008. No, some of those years were right there because we're counting from where? Zero. Y'all understand? Where do we get 2008? Starting at the 30th at the crucifixion? Is that where we started?
After Christ.
In the day of the Lord, A.D. Zero. Well, that was not part of the prophecy, but 2,000 days. We know that a day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day of the Lord. Guys, we're going to work on this period of time right here next week. That's a cliffhanger. That makes you want to come back. Because it started at 2...
Come next week and you'll figure... He'll explain.
Zero is where you start the 2008.
Is that, Brother Barry, is that because the Lord wasn't 1 year old when He was born?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we start our calendar, but the 2 years, if it starts here, have to start 30 years later. Because we had the prophecy up to that point. Maybe, but then you got some calendar problems. That's the point. So, go back to Daniel chapter 9. Guys, you need to be studying. This stuff is hard. I may not have it totally right. But up to this point, I think I can make some pretty good size acceptance. So go back to Daniel 9, and we are going to go over kind of in a fast thing of what I'm saying it is. The guy that gave me his DVDs started telling from Adam to Cyrus. But Cyrus didn't give any decree to restore and build Jerusalem. He built a house, and all the other kings built a house. It wasn't until Artaxerxes and Daniel came before Artaxerxes as a wine bearer, and we have the exact month. We know when the Lord was crucified by solar days, it wasn't 33 A.D. That's a messed up number because of the calendars. It was 30 A.D., and we know it was before April 14th. Well, you can take that back, and you can get it down to about the 14th of March, and the days, I mean, are just almost perfect. Now, why would you go with something that is that close to being perfect and try to figure it out another way to work out? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. The problem is how you look at the calendars. We counted up the days and then we divided them properly by prophetic years and we got 482.99. For all accounts and purposes, that's what? 483 years. We got that accounted for. So let's read the passage one more time and we'll stop here tonight. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy. And number 6, to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandments to restore and build Jerusalem, which had to be what? Nehemiah 2, 1 through 5. You need to put Nehemiah 2, 1 through 5 right there in your passage. On to Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, which is a total of how many weeks? Now you got the math, because it only is 476 years, but those are solar years, and you have to convert them to prophecy years. That's what that equation did. On to Messiah the Prince, when he's announced in what chapter of the Bible?
Luke
19. You got it? Verse 25 again. Knowing therefore and understanding from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, on the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the walls in troublous time. What do we have there? Nehemiah 4, verse 6. All the way down, really 4, 5, and 6. All those chapters right there. And after 62 weeks, after he's announced, what's going to happen? Messiah the Prince. Well, if the 68th and 69th week is over here, then it wasn't after 62, because we know the 7 fits in here when the walls were being built in what? Messines, that who died on the cross wouldn't be the Messiah. But we have 7 weeks, 62, which is a total of 69 weeks. And then we have the 1 week left when then the promise is made for the Antichrist. Watch.
Is that to the day too?
Yes.
Till he's crucified?
All right, now watch. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. What do you have there? Hebrews 7, verse 27. And the people of the prince shall come and destroy the city. What we got there? Rome. And what are we talking about? A.D. what? And the flood is probably not with a watery flood, but a sea of armies. And evil and Trump. And that matches up with this colossal. Now, we're going to deal with that colossal next week a little bit, okay? The times of the Gentiles. Because each of these are from a prophecy that Daniel got from the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, but he couldn't remember the dream. And so they called the astrologers and the magicians, and they're like, okay, king, you tell us the dream, we'll interpret it. And that's the problem. I don't remember the stupid dream. He said, but you got it, you know. And so Daniel was called in, and they got a group together and prayed about it, and the Lord gave Daniel the vision. And this vision is about the kingdoms and the diadems that have been passed down. And from 606 B.C. until that second coming, the Gentiles have been in authority and over. And Israel is not a nation at this moment, nor are they recognized by Almighty God, nor are they protected by Almighty God. We're in the time of the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are reigning. But that reign is going to come to an end, and the Antichrist will come in the first 3.5 years, there'll be peace and safety, and he'll turn it all. Well, what a turmoil world we have right now, amen? Wouldn't it be great for someone to show on the scene and fix everything? And I go, man, this guy's the Messiah. And he'll come, and he'll sit in the temple as he is Almighty God, and from that time forth, all hell breaks loose. Now, let me tell you, boys and girls, listen to me very carefully, my friends. We're coming to that moment. You can do your job, you can do all that, but you better have your hope, you better have your salvation completely assured. If you do not know that Jesus Christ died for all of your sins, tonight is a good night to get that thing settled. He isn't going back on a cross. He's not going to die for any more sins. He's already paid for all of your sins. Sin is not an issue tonight. You all understand that? Sin is not an issue. Jesus Christ paid for him sin. How do we know? He died once and then for the people. He died for your sins. He died in your behalf. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And if you'll just sit back and relax and trust that. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to walk anywhere. You don't have to go anywhere. All you have to do is believe. God will secure and seal you onto the day of redemption. Now remember, we're not appointed unto wrath. That's going to be very important in this chart up here. We got four more nights, or maybe five. It may go on for about 6 or 8 weeks. I don't know how long it will take to build every... I'm going to just keep laying pictures on top of pictures that deal with date and time. And there's a lot of them. And you listen to me or you can't, but listen, let me tell you what. My job as a man of God is not to sit up here and act like I know anything, but to make sure you understand the time. It says in knowing the time, we're told to redeem the time. Hey, I'm telling you, your time is out. Your time is up. Your time is all over. Your time is to get out there and preach and to tell people and get them here, get them to the church. Your time is to quit playing religion and say, well, I know the truth. Oh, praise God. Whoop-dee-doo. It ain't about you anymore. It's about your friends and your loved ones and your sisters and your mothers and your brothers and your aunts, your uncles, and all. And you better get down and diligently start to seek the Lord. And you know why? Because there's a moment when there's going to be a shout with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And if you miss that moment, if you miss that time in history, there will be no way, as the people in that series said, for you to be saved. This stuff is flat out important. This is flat out important. When I've got 69 weeks taken care of, and he says he shall confirm the covenant for many for 1 week. I bet you can figure out what that 1 week is, don't you? And he'll cause the sacrifices and oblations to cease. Where does that happen? Right there in the middle. He'll cause that to stop. And at that point, they'll know who he is. And you know what they told Israel to do? Flee into the mountains. Not to come down and to take anything. Leave now. And listen, boys and girls, I'm telling you, this is some serious stuff. I wish, I don't teach on this stuff. The last time I taught this was how long ago, Larry? 10, 15 years ago? I'm not going to teach on it again. If you either get it now and you figure out the time and you start redeeming the time, but the most thing important that you need to do is show your loved ones, hey, it's over. We're at the end. No more play games. You're either lost or you're saved, and you better get in your heart where you are and start telling people. Guys, I tell you, I appreciate the time that you've given me tonight. I hope that you've gotten some understanding, and we're going to deal with the image a little bit more. Why did I draw the image up there? Because so you knew who the prince, the people of the prince were. And that's Titus and the Roman army. Was that part of the 69 weeks? No, it wasn't. Who were those mysteries of the kingdom given to? The 12 apostles. Matthew 13. The soul went out to sow, and he said, why did you talk to them in parables? Because it was known for you to know the mysteries. They got the mysteries of the kingdom. The other people have no clue what's going on. All right, I'm done. Hope it was a blessing.